بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله السلام عليكم and welcome to the third part in the series of building a solid foundation or a solid home as a Muslim young person or young adult. This is how we build strong foundations. This is how we build a strong faith in Islam. And I'll go quickly over what we've done so far. We looked at the bottom before we even started building. What did we have to do? We had to believe that there is only one God and there is no other God but Allah. Then we said that we needed the Sunnah and the Quran. These are the sources where we find that there is only one God and we find that there is no other God worthy of worship. It's these books that we find that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and all the other prophets are spoken about. And it's also the Quran and the Sunnah that we find that there is a promise of the hereafter. And so that is the basics of our foundation. In other words, the oneness of Allah, prophethood, and the life hereafter. And we understand that we get these only by following the Sunnah and the Quran. Then the next, that was our foundation now solid. We've put it down. And then we start putting the pillars in place that are going to hold the next level up. And this next level is called the relationship to Allah. Our relationship to Allah, yours and my relationship to Allah. And so what did we say? First thing we had to have our testimony of faith correct. In other words, we need to have remembrance of Allah and what we do every single time we do our salah. Every time we come together, we remember Allah. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, before we do anything, before we speak about anything. Second is we need to pray, in other words, repentance. Third thing is we need to have our social welfare part in place, our social welfare, which is we need to pay our zakat, we need to care about those who are sick, poor, and needy. And it doesn't always mean giving money, it also means we need to give some time as well. And I challenge you to maybe give 2 months of your life into serving Islam by maybe doing dawah work or some other charity work. And then there was supplication, which is by the form of fasting. And then the final part was pilgrimage. And I said the correct type of pilgrimage and what it means. And so to go over that quickly, the last part that we just did was to testify that there is none worthy of worship than Allah and that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final messenger of Allah. So offer compulsory taxes, which is zakat, which is an obligation for us. Also that we need to offer our compulsory prayers and we have to do this dutifully. In other words, we have to do it as our duty. We need to do it beautifully and we need to do it perfectly. And then the final part is, last part was that we need to fast during the month of Ramadan and that obviously that we need to go on Hajj if we can, if we have the means to go on Hajj. But this is very important for us and we need to understand when we go on Hajj what we're actually doing. So now let's look, we've got the basic levels, we've got the foundation right, we've got a relationship with Allah right. What can be the next level that we need to put on before we start putting the roof on? That is our relationship with our fellow creatures needs to be right. Now what does this mean? It means that our private and our social life needs to be right. So what are we doing in darkness? What are people, when people don't see us, how are we behaving? Are we behaving like we are when we're in public, when we are amongst other Muslims? And what is our social life like? You know, some people we have like a bipolar life. We have one life that we see amongst the Muslims and another life that we see when we're not with Muslims. Sometimes there's some of the great scholars, we look at them and we want them to be exactly the same and that's how they should be. Our great scholars, if they want to be in the spotlight, if they want to be celebrities, if they want to be known as great authors and great writers and great people in Islam, we want to see that they're the same on camera as they're off camera. We want to see that they're the same when they're in the mosque and when they leave the mosque. We want to see they're the same. We see them on the stage as when they're off the stage. And so even with our private lives as Muslims, young ladies and young men, we want to be the same, constant. We must be constantly the same. What are we like in our economic life? In other words, what do we do with our money that we get given? When we spend money, do we spend it haphazardly? Do we think about what we're using? Do we just buy junk? You know, I saw a PlayStation game today, and it's called Hanuman. The PlayStation game for PS2 or PS3 or whatever it is, I don't know what they are, for whatever it's for, is a game called Hanuman. And so are we going to go buy that game and we know that it's actually a game that's promoting Hinduism as Muslims? Are we going to go buy a game like that? You know, what are we doing with our finances? What are we doing with our money? And then obviously there's also what we do with our political life. Now political life is an interesting one because in my country we have what is called the African National Congress. And the African National Congress is a very, very good political party and I support them. And I believe in what they do, but there's a problem because they're associated with the Communist Party. And as a Muslim, how can you be associated or affiliated with an organization that has communist links? Because communism is against God. So we have to have a look at what political parties we belong to. Are we making it very clear to people that we know that maybe our political affiliations are to this political party, but we do not agree with this, this, and the other? So we need to make sure that people understand what our association is. So we have to become Allah conscious in a way. We have to become conscious of Allah. We need to trust in Allah Ta'ala, and we need to have patience. You know, a lot of people say, I get angry very easily. Someone makes me upset and I get angry and I just want to retaliate. How do I learn to be softer and not to be so angry? And how do I learn not to be so aggressive? You know, sometimes we have marches, and we as young people and the young people that are listening, we get so excited when there's a march on. Maybe it's a march to speak against the atrocities that are taking place in Palestine. Maybe it's to a march against the refusal of allowing a mosque to be built in an area that you're living in. And so we get into marches. Instead of being quiet and passive and being orderly, we want to get aggressive, and we start throwing things, and we start screaming and shouting and pointing fingers in the camera, and we start burning flags. Now, this is what the media are watching. This is what the public want to see. This is the type of Islam they want to see. So what we need to do as Muslims, we need to give a good impression of Islam, not because we're trying to be artificial or fake, but because this is what is required of us. This is how we are supposed to behave. We're supposed to be firm and strong, but not disorderly and crazy. So we want to give a good impression of Islam. We want to be strong and firm, but not to the point where we are being disorderly and start rocking cars over and throwing petrol bombs and burning flags. This is not going to be the thing that is going to help Islam. We need to help Islam by being strong role models, by being firm and saying, we will not tolerate this happening in our country. We will not tolerate this happening in another country. But not to the point where we are now looking silly on the camera. So we need to look very, very carefully at how we behave in our social life, how we behave in our private life. Then in our economic life, just recapping these things, what is the type of kindness and peace that we're offering to people? What are our thanksgiving to the community for what they have done? Thanksgiving is a term that many Christians understand. Thanksgiving is giving something voluntarily. So we're giving our time, we're helping with restoring things in our area. You know, people are, how do we get the economy in our area right? What we can do is we can get involved in programs. Maybe we can help a small little business develop if we're lucky enough to have finances, or you've been blessed enough to have finances that we can help other people. Use those finances to help the economic life of the area. And then obviously then we need to make sure that our justice and equality and our brotherhood is right. Justice, equality, and our brotherhood. You know, sometimes you see the Superman comics or Superman films, and it says that Superman stands for truth, justice, and the American way. Well, let's change that. Maybe we should stand for truth, justice, and brotherhood. Truth, justice, and brotherhood. This is the Islamic way. You know, the Islamic way of life is to make sure that we have these things in place. And this is the next level that we are building, to make sure before we put the roof on, this is what we have to have right. And then we need to have love and mercy and forgiveness. You know, how often do you hold a grudge against your brother? And we keep it for the whole year, and as soon as Ramadan comes, then we want to get rid of our anger, and then you only want to forgive people. So we need to have love and mercy and forgiveness. So let's recap this top before we put the roof on. We have to have our private and social life needs to be right. Our economic life needs to be right. And our political life needs to be right. We need to have our relationship with our fellow creatures right, so we've got our foundation right, which is understanding that we need the Quran and the Sunnah, that we need to say that there's only one Allah, there's only one God. We need to have understanding of the prophethood. We need to have understanding of the life hereafter. Second level in our building, pillars that are behind me that you see. These pillars are the testimony of faith, prayer, zakat, fasting during the month of Ramadan and other times if you can, and then pilgrimage if you have the ability to do that, with understanding why we're going on pilgrimage. The next level, just before we put the roof on, is to have consciousness of Allah and awareness of Allah, and have patience and not to lose our temper when we have marches or go out together. So people see our private and social life are the same. We have kindness and peace and thanksgiving. In other words, we look after our economic life. Then we need to have justice, equality, and brotherhood. This is so important. And this is our political life. And finally, that we have love and mercy and forgiveness, and that it doesn't just happen once a year. So our relationship with our fellow creatures needs to be right. And so now we get to the point where we can actually start to lower our roof. And this is what we need. This is the type of Islamic life that we want. This roof that's holding it all together, our relationship with our fellow creatures. Now, how many people have got pets or animals? Maybe you've got fish at home, and maybe you've got a cat, or you've got some birds. You know, these are creatures as well that we also need to be kind with. And many people think that as Muslims, we can't get involved with groups like Greenpeace, and we can't get involved with saving the seals and saving the whales and saving the dolphins and saving whatever else needs to be saved. We as Muslims should be ecologically aware. In other words, we should be caring about our environment. When you have some takeaway food that you eat, do you just throw the packet out the window of your car? would you look after it and put it into a packet and think, let me put it into a bigger bin or bin bag later and maybe recycle? You see, as Muslims, we must set the example. What do people see when they see us? When as young people, what do they see us? When we're drinking a can of soda, do we just throw the soda tin on the ground, or do we put it into a demarcated area where they can recycle that? So as Muslims, we need to be a role model to the community. People must see us and say, this is what I want to be. This is the type of young person that I want to be. You know, sometimes it's not always cool to do what is right. Sometimes you don't look like the good guy when you do what is right. But if you do it, if you continuously do it, more and more people will start to follow you. Now, I remember when I was at school, it wasn't cool to recycle. It wasn't cool to look after nature and conservation. And in fact, you were the cool guy if you didn't. Today, it's cool. Today, it's popular to look after the environment, to look after animals. So let's do that. Let's make sure that we do that, look after things and recycle. So let's make sure that our private life and our economic life and our political life as young people, it gels together with all the steps below it. That we have our pillars of Islam and the social life and economic life and political life all working together. There's so many temptations at university, so many temptations at college, so many temptations at school, especially when it comes to politics. You know, I was in America during the time of apartheid, and I used to see these students all with these banners, and they'd hold these banners up saying, free the people in Africa from apartheid. And I used to go to them and I'd say, it's actually the people in South Africa, not the people in Africa. The rest of the people in Africa have broken away from apartheid. And what was happening is many of these college students or university students didn't even know why they were involved in these protest marches. It was just something that you went through when you were in university. So we must understand why we are doing things. Don't just go and get involved in campaigns to save the dolphin or save the seals if you don't really believe in it. And make sure that this is part of your religion. This is what we believe. This is part of our faith. So make sure that before we put the roof on our faith, that we have all our faith in order. That everything that we believe in, everything that we do, is the way it should be. And so we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back from the short break, we are going to look at the final parts to make sure that our whole structure is secure and sturdy in everything that we do. See you now. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. We are now looking at the foundations being completed, the relationship with Allah is completed, and the relationship with our fellow creatures is completed in the structure of our building of our houses. Remember, none of these will ever be completed in our lifetime. We need to continuously go back to our foundations and make sure that our foundations are right. We have to continuously go back and see if our relationship with Allah is right. And we have to continuously make sure that our relationship with our fellow creatures is right. You see, we are building this building. And once the building is built, you still have to paint it every now and then. You still have to make sure the electricals are right. You have to make sure the plumbing is right. You have to make sure that there's no cracks in the foundation, that there's no water seepage. You still have to pay attention to all the different parts of this building. Once you built it, it doesn't mean now you can sit back and go, well, now I'm a perfect Muslim and everything's right. I've got all my basics done. You could tick off on a chart that all these things that you've done right. No, you still have to pay attention. You still have to go over each of these things on a regular basis. Now, what I talk about to young people, I often say that we need to audit ourselves. Now, auditing is when you go and you take maybe you actually have to do it physically, and you take a pen and a piece of paper, and you mark what you have done right in your life and how things are going with your life. So maybe write out, maybe you can go on your computer today, on your laptop, or maybe you can get a friend to do it if you're too young to do it yourself, and ask them to write out a questionnaire for you. Maybe 20 points that you write out, like, did I pray Salah this week? Have I fasted this week at any time? Did I ask for forgiveness for things that I've done wrong? Did I show an act of kindness to anybody? And so you write out a whole list so you can choose your own criteria that you have. And then once a week, audit it, tick it, see if you've done these things. And there you can see if you're going, if there's any problems that you need to correct in your life. And so we all do. We all have to do an audit. We all have to check ourselves and make sure that we are on the right path. Even I do it on a daily basis. I check and I make sure that I'm going the right way. So this roof that we have put on, the final part of the roof that we put onto this building that we've built, sometimes we want to decorate our roof. And you know, sometimes you see on top of somebody's roof, there's a wind chime. There's a wind director. It shows when the wind blows, it shows which direction the wind is blowing it, if it's going north or south or east or west. So what is that that we put on top of the roof? Maybe some people want a chimney. Maybe they want to paint the roof another color. So we need to do that. This final part of the roof where we're putting on top of the roof. Now, this is stuff that we put on top of the roof. This is what we're putting on top of our Islamic life. All these things that we said we need to have. What is the part we want to put on top? This is civilization. Now, one of the things Islam brought was civilization. We brought that we are civil and kind and loving and we're caring to people. And many people look at Muslims and say, oh, you guys are savage. We're not savage because we have the Sharia. We have laws that we follow by. And we don't just take the law into our own hands and have vigilante justice. We follow a very strict law. When it comes to marriage, we have very strict requirements. When it comes to divorce, we have very strict requirements. When it comes to relationships with each other, we have very strict requirements. So this is what we're doing on top of this. Now, these are extra things that we need to understand and we need to start looking into. So go to your local community, get involved in your local community. Start learning what the Sharia says, what you are expected to do now that you're a Muslim with a strong, sturdy house. Then you need to gain knowledge. You need to gain knowledge. This is the most important thing. You gain knowledge from the day you are born until the day you die. You're never too old to learn. Now, when I was studying theology, one of the people that was with me was a 75-year-old lady. In my class, all the people in my class were 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, and there was a woman in her 70s. And she decided in her age she wanted to go to university. And many of us laughed at her and thought, oh, this crazy old lady in our class. And she did better than we did. Her marks were higher than us. She was more dedicated to studying. She did a 4-year degree. And at her age, she decided to go study. So there's no one who can say that knowledge is only for the young or knowledge is only for those who are much older. If you're 12 years old, you can start gaining knowledge. If you're 70 years old, you can start gaining knowledge. So you always have to acquire knowledge. And what type of knowledge do we want to gain? We need to get experiential knowledge. In other words, it needs to continuously evolve. We need to get experience. We need to learn as much as we can. So no matter what experiences you can get, gain them, get them, study as much as you can, learn about as many things as you can. However, we must be careful of experience for experience only. You know, some people just want to go out and experience things and say, well, leave me alone, I'm 18 years old, I'm 20 years old, I want to experience life, I want to go do all the haram things that you guys did before you became Muslims. No. That's not the things you're going to go do. Those type of things will lead you in the wrong direction. You know, once you go into evil and once you start doing haram things, it's very, very difficult to come back over to halal things. Now imagine I stood on this chair right now and I called you and I'm a person who's standing on this chair and there's somebody who's standing on the ground. Which is going to be easier, for me to pull you up or for me to pull you or the person to pull me off the chair? It's much easier to pull somebody off the chair than to pull them up onto the chair because gravity is going the other way. So haram things, it's much easier to go the other way, to be pulled down. Much more difficult to pull that person back up again. So rather stay away from it. I can assure you, the world is not great. Alcoholism is not great. Drug addiction is not great. Look at the people who drink alcohol and take drugs. Do they really look like the type of people you want to be? Don't look at the guys who just started and been in it for a month or 2 months. Look at the guys 10, 15 years down the line. Look at the woman, what they look like 10, 15 years down the line. So you don't want to go that route. Stay away from the temptations of life. They're not worth it. They really have no payoffs. Rather stay where you are. Stay on the road that you are. If you're a practicing Muslim, maybe you're not a Muslim as to the extent that you'd like to be. You're a Muslim, but you're not practicing the way you would like to be. Today is the day you can change. Today can be the day that you say, enough. I want to turn around. I want to start building the solid foundation. So start learning to get those experience, good experience, get knowledge. Start learning better ways to live. Start learning, maybe if you have never learned Arabic, maybe start learning Arabic. Maybe you want to learn more about the hadith and you want to learn more about the hadith. This is going to have, all these experiences that you learn are going to help support the wall. They're going to give a good solid outside shell to this wall. And then the final part that you need to have your house in order is to go back to the second and first floor. What were the first things that we added in the first and second floor? The first thing we said is the oneness of Allah, and the second thing we said on the second part of the floor is we said we need to have our testimony of faith. So with the oneness, knowledge of the oneness of Allah and with our testimony of faith, what do we need to do? We need to invite people to Islam. So once you've got this, you need to start giving invitations to people to come to Islam. Now you might say, but I don't know much about Islam. I don't know the hadith properly. I don't know much about the Quran. I don't know about Sharia. I'm not really someone who knows how to do dawah. You know what? What you do know is what you do know. And what you don't know, you don't know. So only talk about the things you do know and speak about those well. In other words, if you know that you enjoy doing your salah, if you enjoy praying to Allah, tell people about that. That's all you need to tell them. Tell them about what you do know. If you enjoy going to mosque on a Friday, tell them about that. If you enjoy fasting and you enjoy the benefits of fasting, tell them just about that. If you know that Allah is one and there is no other God but Allah, then talk about that. Maybe you've watched one of Zakia Naik's videos or DVDs. Maybe you've watched one of Bilal Phillips's DVDs. Maybe you've watched one of Ahmed Didat's DVDs, and you've learned everything there is about that video, and you really like that video or DVD. Then talk about that. Talk about what you know. But don't go start talking about things that you don't know, because then when the person asks you a question, you're going to go, I don't know. I don't know how to answer it. So only talk about what you do know. So you can give the invitation. You don't have to wait to be a great da'i or study or anything. You can, with the knowledge you have, you can go out and tell people about Islam. So don't wait for somebody else to do it. No one else is going to do it. You're the one who Allah has chosen. You're the one that Allah has given that task to do. So you go and you do that. You see, you are invited. Just like I am invited and every other human being is, we are all invited to Islam. And it's our job to go out and tell the people that they have been invited to Islam. If we look at the Quran, it says in the third chapter of the Quran in verse 64. Third chapter of the Quran in verse 64. And again, those of you who have got your Quran out, have a highlighter or a pen, mark this. Because this is the, I have the English-only version of the Quran so that I can mark it and put highlightings in of very important verses that I can share with other people at a later stage. And so in the Quran in chapter 3 and verse 64, it says, "So, O people of the book, come to common terms as between us and you." So who are these people of the book? Those people who are not Muslims, those people who are following the books, those people who are following the Torah or the Bible, says, "Come, let us come to a common knowledge between you and us, that we worship none but Allah." This is what you want to bring to the person that you're going to tell, invite to Islam. Tell him we believe in only one God, and that associate no other partner with him, that we erect not amongst ourselves any patrons other than Allah. So we just say there's only one. And if they turn back, say, "Bear witness that we, at least Muslims, bow down to none other than the will of Allah." And so this is the final cap for you. This is to your house is finished being completed. Everything is structured. It looks beautiful. Your house is looking good. I must say I'm very impressed that all of you have been able to get to this point and have been so patient with me. We built this house. We've made sure our foundations are right. We've made sure our relationship with Allah is right. We've made sure that our relationship with fellow creatures are right. We've made sure we put a good outside shell on this building. And so we've got experiences, and we exert ourselves to go forward. And we've looked at, now we have the front door, which is the front door of our house, which is the invitation to Islam. We are going out and we're speaking about what we do know. We're not speaking about what we don't know, we're talking about what we do know. So this is a beautiful house we've got. Everything is great. We've even got a nice roof, which has knowledge and has civilization, because we're going to tell people about the science of the Quran. We're going to tell them what we've done in history, what we've done in geography, how the Quran speaks so intricately about things that no man could possibly have known unless it was inspired by Allah, given by Allah. So this is the most amazing book you're ever going to read, the Holy Quran. And I encourage you to stay strong in Islam. Young people, we have so many distractions, but you need to move forward. And inshallah, you will do that. I'm looking forward to being with you again sometime. And remember, stay firm in the faith of Islam. Assalamu alaikum.